الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ملك زادا وراحلة تبلغه إلى بيت الله ولم يحج فلا عليه أن يموت يهوديا أو نصرانيا أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير بك نستغيث. وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. We have been blessed with some amazing moments and amazing months, amongst them being Ramadan and then Rajab and Sha'ban, and now we are in Shawwal and then Zilqa'dah and then Zilhajjah. Amongst these months there are four sacred months. And the sacred months are, as you know, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hajjah, Rajab, and Muharram. So in between, we had first Rajab, then we had Sha'ban. These are blessed in its own right. Then we had Ramadan. Now we have the Shawwal. Then Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hajjah, and then we will have Muharram. So respected brothers and elders, these are very special months. Both for the reasons that we had preparation for Ramadan, then post-Ramadan, and then Ashhurum Ma'lumat, the month of Hajj. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat, فَمَنْ فَرْضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. So we have been extremely immensely privileged and honored with these months and these timings, that we need to appreciate, truly appreciate. Because before Ramadan, he was preparing for the month, the leader of the month. Then after Ramadan, he was taking lessons for Ramadan. And now, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was asked, what is the greatest a'mal? What is the greatest a'mal in your eyesight? And he said, look, I'm not really sure. But until he carried out the Hajj, after carrying out the Hajj, he says Hajj was the greatest a'mal in his opinions. So respected brothers and elders, question is, why is Hajj so important? What does Hajj entitle or entail? What does Hajj mean? Where do you do Hajj? When is the Hajj done? So as I mentioned in the Quran, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. Hajj is known months. Ashhur, months. Ma'lumat, known months. And the Mufassir, our ulama, our scholars, they say, the month of Shawwal is the month where the Hajj actually starts. The season of Hajj is the month of Shawwal, and where it starts. Then you have Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, which is the next month, and we're already a week. Subhanallah. La jazakallah khair, ahsanul jaza. So after Ramadan is Shawwal, I'm a few days back. Only a few days? Subhanallah. So we are already a week in Dhul Qa'dah. Jazakallah for correcting me. We are already a week has gone in Dhul Qa'dah. Because the immediate month after Ramadan, which month is that? Shawwal. Which month is it? Shawwal. So we're already gone a month past Ramadan. Now we're in Dhul Qa'dah. Subhanallah. I'm getting confused. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yasir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli jazallahu anna sayyidina wa sanadana wa habibana wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. Rabbi yasir wa la tu'asir wa tambi bil khair wa bikana staghiz. So as I was saying, my brothers, Dhul Qa'dah then Dhul Hajjah. Dhul Qa'dah then Dhul Hajj. Ashhurum ma'luma, the known months. The known months. These known months are the Mufassir and the ulama say this is the month of Hajj. So in other words, although the main days of Hajj, it happens in Dhul Hijjah, but you can actually carry out the action, other action, pre-actions of Hajj during these 2.5 months. So then there is an issue now that arises. What if a person goes for Umrah in Saudi to carry out the minor Hajj? And ulama say one must, or there is a saying that one must stay behind to complete his Hajj also. That's why we need to be extremely careful how we go about the Umrah during the Hajj season. So respected brothers, respected elders, so upon who is the Hajj farz? Question is, upon who is the Hajj farz? وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear, those who have the capacity to do the visit of Baytullah, the Kaaba Sharif, to visit the Makkah al-Mukarramah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it farz upon them. The question is, why should we go to the Hajj? Man istata'a ilayhi sabila, because when a person attends the Hajj, visits the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does the tawaf, does the nahr, does the halak, does the wukuf, the arafah, and does the mina and the muzdalifah, and the stoning of the shayateens, and so forth and so forth. Raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummu. The person returns back like the day when his mother gave birth to him. When we go through all this mushaqqa, you have to understand, we are usually, what happens is we are in our adult life, and it's being an adult, being a baligh is a shart, a condition. You have to be Muslim, you have to be azad, you have to be free, and you have to be baligh in order for your hajj to be a condition on you. And amongst other conditions is you have to have istita'a. Istita'a as in you cannot be restricted. So if you have allocation, 5,000 allocation from the UK, then you have anything beyond that is a restriction. For example, you're going from Pakistan or Bangladesh or India, there's an allocation of numbers. In UK, there's allocation of numbers. Worldwide, there's allocation of numbers. So there cannot be any restrictions. So if you're unrestricted, then, and you have the money for yourself, which is the zada, rahila. Zada is the tosha, is the sustenance, is the money for yourself, for the travel, going there and coming back. And also for your ahli ayal, for your family, for your children, for your wife, for your spouses, and so forth. Then one must attend Hajj. One must go to the safar. So our ulamas and fuqaha says, if you live close by the Makkah al-Mukarramah, then you're able to walk. Then walking is also a possibility of you going there. If you're able to catch a train or whatever it means, whatever transportation that you have, you must attend Hajj. Because if you don't attend Hajj, Man malaka zadan wa rahilatan. Those who have the capacity of zadan, which is the wealth and the money and the finances, the capacity of money, and wa rahila, and the transportation to go to Hajj, and he doesn't go to Hajj, yuballighuhu ila baytillahi ta'ala. So zad, money, and then the transportation and the possibility for you to attend Makkah al-Mukarramah, and you don't, then what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what does he say? Fala alayhi. He doesn't care. أَنْ يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًّا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care whether the person dies as a Yahudi or a Nasrani.
So my respected brothers and elders, what you have to understand is there's a great wa'id in that. There's a great warning in that. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us when the hajj becomes fard, when the hajj becomes compulsory, when the hajj becomes incumbent upon you and I, then we must attend. And there's no mu'akhar, there's no delay in that. The delay, that if you do unnecessary delay, as in you're not being restricted by the government, as in you have enough financial means, as if you, as in you have transportation and means to go, you can catch a flight. You know, if you can't go, if you can't go directly from Jeddah, from London to Jeddah, then you can go from Glasgow to London, from London to different place, and then to Jeddah. You must still go, because if you don't go, what happens is you are, the gunas will be written in your books. Gunas will be written in our namay a'mal, in our books. So there cannot be muakhar. Our ulamas also say, and the fuqahas also say, if you have zawarat, if you have jewelry, and if by selling the jewelry it gives you enough money for you to go, then fulfills the condition of going to hajj, then you must sell your jewelry and go to hajj. Likewise, my brothers, my respected brothers and elders, there is a great misconception, misunderstanding. You know what? My son is 18, my daughter is 17, or 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. You know, he needs to go to university, she needs to go study, I need to get her married off, or I can't go until my father or my mother does the hajj. This is completely irrelevant to your being mukallaf of doing the hajj. Because end of the day, if your son is 18 and he doesn't keep fast, if your daughter is 21 and she doesn't pray salah, who will be mukallaf for that? Who will be liable for this responsibility? It's not you, it's your son, it's your daughter. Likewise, if the hajj becomes farz upon you and I, we have to go. We cannot wait for my son's wedding is finished, my daughter's university is finished, my tuition is finished, my business, alhamdulillah, I've made my millions, or I've made my thousands, now I'm free, I'm on the wheelchair, now alhamdulillah, I can go now. You know what we do? We keep the hajj action for the latest part of our life, towards the end of our life. And you and I, those who's been to hajj, those who's been to umrah, those who's been to Saudi Arabia, that when there's millions of people are involved, there's a great mushakta, there's a great difficulty. Both maneuvering yourself from one place to another place, safar is what? Traveling is what? It's always difficulties arising. That's why qasr is assigned to, qasr salah is assigned when you are traveling. As a hiba, as a hadiyah, as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, my respected elders, there's this great misconception. The great misconception is that, oh, I will go when I finish with everything. But let me tell you one thing. Well, let me ask you one thing, my brothers, my respected elders, and my friends. How many of you can guarantee that you and I will be alive for next two years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? Does anybody have a guarantee certificate? Sir Kari Sahab, I bought you for £1 million from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a different relationship between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an exclusive club, you know. It's an exclusive club in London. Only certain people are allowed. I'm one of them. Can anybody guarantee me that? But let me give you the sad part now. If you and I, if the hajj is farz upon us, and you and I happen to pass away, but before you pass away, if farz upon us, then we have to write a will. Because if for whatever reason you've been restricted, for example, you know, there's allocation within the UK, 10,000 people. You happen to be the 10,000 people and one more person. Then you will be rejected. If for whatever reason you're rejected, ulama say it's farz upon you to write a will. Or tell your wadis, to tell your people, your inheritors, that look, for whatever reason I've not been able to go to hajj, make sure you fulfill for my hajj badal if I don't live till next year. But my brothers, my respected elders, our ulamas of fuqaha says, hajj badal on your waris is only lazim, is only compulsory upon the 1/3 of your wealth. So if you have 11,000, 12,000 for example, if you divide that by 3, you have £4,000 remaining. So if £4,000 is enough to do hajj badal, then they have to go hajj on your behalf. If it's not enough, then it's not incumbent, it's not farz upon them to go hajj badal for you. And your hajj remains unfulfilled. Now imagine, my brothers, my respected elders, what happens you have if you miss Sawm, if you miss fasting, and if you miss Salah? Again, the ruling is same. You only go to your waris, your inheritors are only obliged to fulfill your fidya, fulfill your soms compensation, fulfill your salas compensation with the 1/3 of the wealth that you leave behind. Because once you pass away, once I pass away, once we pass away, that wealth no longer belongs to you and I. Who does the wealth belong to? The inheritors, the people you leave behind, your children, your family. So you are no longer, so all the effort that you've gone through of chasing money, fulfilling this, fulfilling that, I need to do this and I need to do that, and you've been delaying. One of the greatest, one of the rukuns, one of the pillars of Islam. Bunya al-Islam ala khamsin. One of the pillars of Islam is what? Is Hajj. Because you delayed it so much thinking about everybody else and you fail to fulfill your own obligation, then once you pass away, it's not incumbent on for us about other people to think about you anymore. Only if it's 1/3 of your wealth remains, and that 1/3 of the wealth is enough for your Hajj, then they have to do Hajj Badal for you. But even then, what about your Sawm? What about your Salah that we miss? There are so many people that what happened during the lifetime, they miss so much Salah. They got Qadha to do of the Salah. They got Fidya to do of the Salah of the Sawms, and they got Kafara to do of the Sawms. How many of us can guarantee ourselves that inshallah, that our children, once we no longer here, will take care of our affairs once we are passed away from this world? So my brothers, my respected elders, what does the hadith say? Man malaka zadan wa rahilatan tuballighu ila baytillahi wa lam yahujja fala alayhi an yamuta yahudiyan aw nasraniyan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you have the capacity to go to Hajj and you didn't go to Hajj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care whether you die as a Yahudi or you die as a Nasrani. Is that the place, is that the maqam that we want? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, my friend, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, make an announcement. The Kaaba Sharif, Baytullah Sharif has been complete now. Make announcement to the entire world, to your progeny, to your next generation, and the generation after, and the generation after. People will come to you. Yatika rijana, men will come to you, and on camel's back, people will come to you from far distance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immediately saying in the next ayah, liyashhadu manafi'a lahum. So they can witness, they can take with them the benefits and the nafa with them upon their return. Our ulama says one of the nafa and the benefits is that he will have no issues with the finances at all. My brothers, my respected elders, there are a lot of elders in here, mashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the umar, preserve the wealth, preserve the health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them a means for hidayah and guidance for the rest of the people, an example for the next generation. How many of you can say, those who've witnessed, that you've been to Hajj and you came back as muflis? You came back bankrupt. Or you had financial problems. Have you ever heard a story like that? Never. You will never hear that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Quran can never be wrong. We can even never think Quran can be questionable. Quran can never be wrong. It has never been proven wrong. It will never be proven wrong. That is our aqidah, and Quran also challenges. Bring me something equivalent to a surah or similar like that. So my brothers, my respected elders, Hajj, we fear. What is the work of shaitan? Shaitan is the what is to put doubt in you, fear in you, of poverty and so forth and so forth. Look, when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was born, was created, Iblis was ordered to do what? To do sajda. What did he do? Aba wastabar wa kana min al-kafirin. What did he do? He's like, it doesn't make sense. Me created out of fire, this person created of soil, I'm higher rank, he's lower rank, why do I have to worship him, do sajda to him? It was illogical for him to do sajda, according to him. So my brothers, my respected elders, Hajj, there are certain arkan, there are certain things, it doesn't make sense to you and I, to zahiran. It's illogical. Let's not use the word, it doesn't make sense. It's illogical to certain people. But Hajj is not about logic. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, we say, Sami'na wa ta'na. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to slaughter his own son, what did his own son say? I'm ready. Labbaik. Allah said it. I'm ready. Because when you question the amr and the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're doing the work of the shayateen. The shaytan and the iblis. Iblis was too busy questioning the amr and hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All he had to say was, sami'na wa ta'ana. I heard you, I listened to you, and I will obey you. Running from one place to another, doing the stoning of the shayateens. These are all symbolic actions that was done by a great grandfather, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The shaitan is not there physically tied to a stone. Yet, we have to throw stones, and it will be in a certain manner. Although some people get too emotional, start throwing chappals and sandals and shoes and whatnot. So we need to be mindful. Hajj is symbolic. Symbolic of what? A'mal are done in for two reasons. One is because of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one is done because of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj is the collection, is the epitome, or rather the whole izhar and zahir of your love and devotion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ulama says those who become new Muslim first, one of the earliest things they wish for is they want to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at Baytullah. You know why? Because the iman is completely fresh. They don't have guna, they don't have any sins. And the hadith talking of sins and no gunas, the hadith that I prayed, رَجَعَا كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّ. The person returns from Hajj as if he has no sins, just like the day his mother gave birth to him. Our ulama's father state, on the day he was born, he had no gunas and he had no sins. No sins and no suhab. Completely free. Completely free. But once you become an adult, when you go to a mature person, what have you accumulated? What have you gained? What have we achieved? I don't want to use the word achieving gunas. What have we done? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness to all that. The malaika is writing the good deeds and the bad deeds. On one side we have good deeds, and on the other side we have bad deeds. So when you come back completely free, كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّ, what are you left with? You're still left with good deeds. And that is the main point. My brothers, my respected elders, when you are making the sacrifice, leaving behind your wife, leaving behind your children, leaving behind your businesses, leaving behind so many things, all these zahiran, you know, if I go, who's going to look after my business? If I go, who's going to look after my car? If I go, who's going to look after my wife? If I go, who's going to take my children to school and back? If I go, who's going to do this? If I go, who's going to marry my daughter? If I go, who am I going to get my son to marry to? All these different fears that goes through. And then what happens? Let's wait till I'm finished with everything. My respected brothers and elders, our ulama said this is a complete wrong mentality, mindset to have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already promises the benefits. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Let them witness the benefits and the nafa that they will. When you return back from Hajj, you will be coming back with barakah and blessing in every aspect in your life. In fact, 2 days ago in my office, I was discussing with a brother who was telling me a story regarding one of his friends that when he went to Hajj, he left a certain amount of money with his wife. I said, look, use as much as the money you need from that. So sometime we have, and the sister was using the money, and he was traveling for 1 month, and he traveled for another month. And when he returned back from Hajj, it was 2 months, third month, fourth month, and they were continuing using the money. And the brother was asking his wife, are you still using the same money? She's like, yes, I've been using from day one. Since you left to go to Hajj and you come back, I've been still using the same money. And he said, did you check how much money I left behind? He goes, no. There was no need to leave a check because you left. You always take care of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us like this, that we take care of our spouses. But you always take care of us. I have full tawakkul in you that you will not leave us in difficulty. And then he said to her, look, I left you enough for a month. But it's been 3-4 months now. Where is the money coming from? Then you know what happens? Curiosity kills the cat. Have you heard the phrase? So she was immediately like, what? This is shocking. And then she opened the bag and she saw only 10 pounds. Only 10 pounds. So my brothers, my respected elder, this is a lie. This is not some storytelling from it happened centuries ago and where there's a
you know, whether we need to verify the Rawi and the narrator, and whether it's Sahih, whether it's Dal, whether it's Da'if, or whether it's, you know, whether the historian is a Mu'tabar or not person. This is a live example, a live story of something happening within our era, within our lifetime, within our friends and colleagues, our brothers and our sisters. And he was saying, my brothers, and he was shocked. It's like the story of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, when he was hungry and the flour and the dough was coming out from his kitchen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if he didn't check, it would have continued till Yawm al-Qiyamah. So my brothers, my respected elders, let me ask you this question again. Have you seen a bankrupt person or a person who's suffering from financial difficulties once they come back from Hajj? I know so many people that they say, after I went to Hajj and Umrah, I come back and I realize the money that I spent, I've got triple and quadruple back. I don't even know where that money came from. The money that I spent going to Hajj, I don't even know how I got this. When I come back, I don't even know how I got this money back again. So my brothers, my respected elders, although Hajj is difficult, mali, jismani, is wealth and is related to your physical exertion. Mali, loss of your money, zahir and loss of your money, loss of your time, loss of your business. But Hajj will never diminish any of your barakah in your life. If in fact it will accentuate and accelerate, and it will make and multiply, and it will give you more. So if you are suffering from any difficulties and challenges, make firm intention, make pukhta irada. Just by making the intention, you and I know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write the reward of that immediately. Then when you carry out man ja'a bil hasanati, falahu ashru amthaliha. If you do the carry out the action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies by 10 times. And when, so my brothers and respected elders, key points to take from these events, this today's lecture, the main is, if you're able to go to Hajj and you don't go to Hajj, then فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًّا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care, it's not upon him whether you die as a Yahudi or Nasrani. It's a big wa'id, big warning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from this wa'id. Second thing is, if you travel to Hajj and you're able to fulfill all his obligation, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَال. There's no jidal, there's no argument, there's no fighting, there's no quarreling, there's no rafas, there's no the sexual there's no sexual relationships and talk in lewd manner, etc., etc., and there's no gunas, then the raja'a kayyawmin waladathu ummu, then he will return back just like the day his mother gave birth to him. So my brothers, my respected elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all those people who are going for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard them from any jidal, safeguard them from any rafath, and safeguard them from any fusuq and gunas and sins, etc. And those who are not have the capacity to go yet, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us. Make it possible for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only make it possible for us, but make it possible for our next generation, for our colleagues, our brothers, our sisters, our uncles and aunties, for our entire family and for the entire community. Because my brothers and respected elders, those who are not gone and you don't have the means to go, why don't you start this? Put some money every day or every week or every month, whatever is within your capacity, £10, £20, £200, £2,000, whatever amount you can afford, put it in a pot. Inshallah al-Aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a lot of barakah in there. There's no time, otherwise I would have mentioned a story that the Mufti Taqi Usmani of Damat Barakatum Aliyah mentions, that a lady who had no means of going to Hajj, but she used to put some money every day or every week. Even Anna, you know Anna? Very low amount in Pakistani rupees. Then eventually what happened, she had enough money to go to Hajj. It's possible. All we have to do make is niyyah, pukhta irada, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible for us. Because وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. People will come from far and wide distance. And brothers, one more issue. If you don't do Hajj, it was farz upon you. It's farz upon you to do a will and to let your waris, your inheritors know that you've not been able to do the Hajj. But for them to fulfill your Hajj Badal is only upon the one third of the inheritance, only one third of your wealth. If that one third is not enough to cover your Hajj and you happen to miss your sawm and salah and etc. There's fidya for salah, and you have to give compensatory money for salah, compensatory money for your missed sawms,
then you and I, we are going to be in a very difficult manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard every single one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and tawfiq to go hajj. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I the tawfiq and ability to fulfill all the faraid actions and safeguard us from all the ma'asiyah and the guna. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.